When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Definitely, no, we know the history of the game, and it's definitely, you know, I think it's special to be a part of it, you know, a rivalry that's been going on, the oldest rivalry in football, so it's very special, and you know, I think we definitely take pride in that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. That's Jordan Love. He's happy with the way things are going, unlike anybody.
He should be.
Yeah, I know. He's doing okay.
He should be.
Hey, we are delighted to welcome in our friend Wayne Larrivee, the radio voice of the Packers, and he joins us on the Aturo Hotline, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Wayne, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, always fun to talk to you. I think that the Bears have been, I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I know you've seen weeks like this, but this is just, it's been crazy since they lost in Washington. The whole season has kind of come to a screeching halt. Bears can't win again, apparently. And meanwhile, you fire the offensive coordinator. They cut a guard that didn't seem to want to play anymore. It just, it feels like they're spinning on their axis. And maybe the whole planet could derail, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, just go back and think about it, that Washington game. And, you know, the Hail Mary. They're leading. They come back. They struggle all day offensively. They score two touchdowns late. They've got the lead. They're about to go to, what, 5-2?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, that Hail Mary gets completed somehow. Big part of being Tyreek Stevenson not getting back and handling his business, being the deepest of the deep back there to defend that. But, I mean, you know, since then, that one play, I mean, 17 seconds ago, 2 seconds ago, time expired when Daniel throws that pass downfield. I mean, the Bears were 5-2, going to be 5-2. And I guarantee you they don't lose into the next two games at home. So, it's just they might have lost to Arizona, but they wouldn't have lost to New England. But so it's amazing how one play can flat out turn around a season.
And yet it has. And the Bears come in and the Packers are the opponent, and you have two teams headed in opposite directions, Wayne. I'm just curious, when you look at the Packers numbers, we've been talking about this morning, people tend to forget just how devoted they have been to the running game with Josh Jacobs. I was astounded to learn that this is the most rushing yards they've had through nine games since 2003. What is it about this season that made Matt LaFleur be this dependent on the running game?
Well, we started to see it at the end of last year. And that's when Aaron Jones took off and had five consecutive games of 100 yards rushing. And that includes two playoff games. And no one in the history of the Packers, not Jim Taylor, not Paul Hornung, not any of the great backs they've had, ever did that. So this is where it kind of began with their run last season down the stretch. The Shanahan offense is rooted in running the football. That's the first thing you do if you're going to be successful in this offense. And now that they have Josh Jacobs, they've got a bell cow they can hand the football to 20 times or more in a game, and he's going to get them production. And you're exactly right about the Packers invested in the ground game. 31 rushing attempts a game. That's ninth most in the NFL. And they're averaging 154, almost 155 yards rushing per game. They're getting 5 yards a carry. So it's a huge part of what they do.
What can you tell us about their defense, specifically what Halfley has meant since coming in? And, you know, it feels like they're a lot better than they were at the beginning of last year. And part of that is the improvement on defense.
Yeah, I think so, Mully. You know, they're 11th in points allowed, 12th in yards. They're much better against the run than they have been. They seem to rally to the football much better against the run. That has been a sore spot in Green Bay for well over a decade, since the Super Bowl team of 2010. They're not bad against the pass, but their sacks are down this year. They're not getting the kind of pressure they'd like to be getting. Their takeaways are what is really the reason they rank as high as they do defensively is their takeaways, especially early in the season. But those have kind of dried up lately. Just two takeaways in the last three games. They're still second in the NFL in takes. They're number one in fumble recoveries. But that's something, the pressure on the quarterback, they're 14th in sacks per pass play, middle of the pack there. And red zone defense has been a struggle. They're 20th, giving up 59% touchdowns in the red zone. Those are the areas they need to shore up if they're going to make a run like they did last year.
Wayne, can you clarify what Robert Saleh's role is, how visible or present he is in Green Bay, and how Jeff Hafley feels about this entire operation?
You know, he's been very much behind the scenes and hasn't done any press exposure or anything like that. I think he's purely a consultant, a fresh set of eyes, somebody that Matt LaFleur really trusts. And he and Hafley coached together, I believe, in San Francisco. So I don't think there's any problem there. And quite frankly, from what I understand, Saleh has done more with the offense. In other words, you know, giving the offensive staff and maybe the players kind of his idea of what the opposing defense may try to do on a given week coming up. So it's been more focused on that. I don't think he's had a whole lot, from what I understand, he's not done a whole lot in terms of saying, okay, to Jeff Hafley, well, you've got to do this. He hasn't done anything like that with the defensive side of the football.
How is Kenny Clark doing? Is he physically okay? And, you know, that guy is obviously a monster and a guy that can create huge problems for the Bears.
Very quiet start to the season for Kenny Clark, and I will say the entire defensive front, the defensive line, that is. They've had a very quiet start so far. Kenny, no sacks. He had 7.5 last year. He was a Pro Bowl player last year, 20 tackles. He's battling a toe injury. And guys, you know, Kenny Clark's the kind of guy, he's going to play through injuries, okay? So he's going to be out there. You just don't know how much the injury is affecting him or not. But I do know this, and this is something that has kind of surprised all of us. The defensive line and this conversion from 3-4 to 4-3, and, you know, it's not supposed to be that big a deal because, let's be honest, you're a 3-4 base, right? Well, how much – you're playing 4-2-5 most of the time anyway in nickel. So – you know, it's not like this is a new concept, but the defensive line has not been as effective as we thought they'd be in this defensive scheme. And Kenny's a part of that, but he's been battling a toe injury of late.
Talking with the great Wayne Larrivee, the voice of the Packers here on Mullenhaw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Wayne, when you look at Jordan Love and the kind of start he's off to, he has the injury, obviously, so maybe he's taken a half step backward, but the second half of last season, he was as good as any quarterback in the NFL. And obviously we're trying to look at and wonder, is Caleb Williams capable of being this year's version of Jordan Love, having a good, strong second half after a struggling first half? When you look back and reflect, where did Jordan Love turn the corner and why?
Well, it was in the middle of the season. It was in Pittsburgh. It was actually in a defeat. But you saw that, you know, he started to have a better feel and command for the offense and the huddle. And then it just kind of accelerated from there. You know, it's not like he or they were perfect down the stretch, but they were very good down the stretch, and this offense took off. This year, to be honest with you guys, I don't feel like Jordan Love has really gotten into a rhythm. The first game against Philadelphia, he was okay, forced one interception, got hurt late in the ball game, last play or two of the game, misses the next two games, comes back, he's not 100%. You know, kind of trudges through it. And just as you think he's getting up to speed, suffers a groin injury, misses the second half, virtually the entire second half of the Jacksonville game. And then the following week comes back and plays against Detroit and in a bad weather conditions, that type of thing. I don't feel we haven't seen him get into a rhythm yet with this offense. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can, number one, he's healthy now, if they can keep him healthy, and can this offense take off from where they are? They're not bad, but they're living on the big plays. They're living on big plays, and that's why their yardage is good, their points per game is good, you know, all these other things. But the situational football has not been as good. Third downs and red zone have really been areas of concern.
It's interesting because the red zone, they've struggled you would expect that to be something that they would do well. And the Bears have actually played very well in the red zone. They've been holding teams to field goals as opposed to touchdowns. So that might aid them in staying close in this game. I don't know that they can win it.
Well, guys, let me give you a few red zone numbers from Green Bay. They've been penalized 11 times in the red zone.
Wow.
They've struggled to run the ball. I mean, Josh Jacobs, as good as he is, 22 attempts, 36 red zone rushing yards. Emmanuel Wilson, 6 rushes, 14 yards in the red zone. There's been a Jacobs lost a fumble at the goal line in one game, and Jordan Love was intercepted in the red zone. So they've had 2 turnovers in the red zone. That's the area. If they could clean that up, that will really help excel this offense to the next level.
The receiving core, talented. Have they had an issue with drops this year?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. They're among the league leaders in that dubious category. And you know, guys, as we all talk about drops, understand it is a subjective statistic, okay? What's a drop to one viewer might be, you know, just a bad pass to another one. But, you know, essentially, anywhere from 22 to 23 drop passes by this receiving corps. And a guy who really came on and became a star down the stretch last year has been, they've had trouble getting him on track, Dontayvion Wicks. And it's amazing. He's got 16 catches, but he's only caught 37% of the targets thrown his way, 37%. But of those 16 receptions, 4 of them are for touchdowns. And he's among the league leaders in terms of yards of average separation per route. So he's getting open, but he also leads the league in drops. He had 2 against the Lions. He has 8 for the season. So this has been a big part of penalties and drops. To be honest with you, if you want to simplify things, those are the 2 things that have hurt the Packers' offense. Otherwise, it could probably be the number one offense in the league if they needed to.
I was reading that Matt LaFleur felt that one of the reasons they had this improvement in the second half last year, they started 3-6, they came out of the bye week, and they went ones-on-ones, first team against first team, and that aided them into the second half. And he did the same thing this year, and obviously they're coming off the bye, so they've kind of done something different, made an adjustment, and he's hoping that that will lead to some of the things that we're talking about, some of the problems they have cleaning things up just by having their best go against their best and keeping them sharp.
Yeah, that's something that we've seen this week especially, that he's gone to. And, you know, we'll see. I think that's something that obviously they felt good about last year, and, you know, they'll do it again this year. And it's kind of like, you know, sharpening a knife, you know what I mean?
Right.
Iron on iron and sharpening both sides of the football. Now, it takes away a little bit from your preparation for what the other team is going to bring to the party. But nonetheless, I think that's something they feel like if they can balance that out, that it will help them down the stretch.
So, Wayne, the Bears have not scored an offensive touchdown in 23 straight drives and 2 straight games. So when you look at this offense, when the Packers speak of the matchups that they have against Caleb Williams and the receiving core and DeAndre Swift, what do you think scares them the most, if anything?
Well, the fact that there's so much talent on the perimeter of this offense. I mean, you know, the quarterback is very talented. There's no question about that. The receivers, you look at Keenan Allen out there, DJ Moore, Roma Dunze looks like a top flight receiver. Cole Kmet, who's gotten lost in this offense recently, is a top flight tight end. They've got great skill position people around that quarterback. Now, the problem has been, as you guys know even better than I do, I'm watching the last 3 games, and that offensive line has been awful. That's as bad. Mully, when you and I were on the beat back in the Wani days, that, you know, I didn't see offense this bad, and there was some bad offense back then. But the offensive line, you know, the offensive line itself, Caleb Williams goes back and he's hesitating, okay? Mm. He's not really ready to deliver the ball when it has to be delivered on time. But there is no chance. As soon as he hesitates, he's getting sacked immediately. In the running game, yeah, DeAndre Swift's having a fine year, but he could be much better if they could keep him clean. They don't block that well for the run either, in my opinion, from what I've seen. And I've only seen the last 3 games for the most part. But that's kind of where it's at. This offensive line, with the injuries, they're getting the tackles back. That'll be good. But Tevin Jenkins might be their best lineman, and he may not play this week. So this offensive line has been at the crux of the problem for this team, and they are the glaring example of why, as in Detroit, as Harbaugh is doing out in Los Angeles with the Chargers. You build your offensive line, and then everything comes off of that. The Bears got the quarterback. They surrounded him with great perimeter people, but the offensive line is a problem.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about that so much, Wayne, and everyone wants to know, like, how do you fix it? How do you fix it? Well, get a time machine, because you needed to address it like 3 years ago. You needed to have guys in place. And the Packers did that 1 year, as I recall, where they loaded up on some offensive linemen, and it took a couple years. It takes guys time, but eventually you end up with pretty good players. And this has been really the crux of the problem. They did not prepare that line. They kind of let a couple things slide. They thought they'd made a couple moves. Ryan Bates was going to come in. He's already hurt. They drafted a guy. He was already hurt. So it just, they haven't gotten any kind of lift from that at all. And in fact, it's dragging them down.
Yeah, it is. In this league, guys, I got to tell you something. You know, we as laymen spend so much time looking at receivers and quarterbacks and even running backs. But we fail to see where the game is still won and lost today, and it's in the trenches.
Yeah.
And where the Bears are struggling is on their offensive line, and their defensive line is also probably the weakness of that defense overall. If you are bottom quartile, bottom third of the league in offensive line and defensive line, I don't care how good the rest of your positions are, you're going to have trouble winning games.
Wayne, is Xavier McKinney usually this chatty? Because he's gotten DJ Moore's attention.
Yeah, DJ Moore said something when McKinney went to Green Bay, and that kind of triggered things. Yeah, but there's nothing wrong with a little bulletin board material for Bears Packers Week, right? We don't want these guys to like each other, do we? I don't think so.
No.
You know, yeah, this is a rivalry.
Yeah, I wish it were.
Is it, Wayne? We just said the last time the Bears won a game, Jordan Howard scored their first touchdown. That was how long ago?
Oh my gosh!
Yeah,
2018.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. They have, you know, it's still a great rivalry. I've seen all of them since 1985, and it's been such an honor to be a part of that for all these years, to see both sides of it.
Yeah, and you've always managed to be on the right side.
Yeah,
I think.
It's great talking to you too, Wayne.
You're the best,
all
Wayne.
Right, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Yeah, bye. Wayne, when the Bears were dominant, he was with the Bears, and now he's gone to Green Bay.
He knows how to enter a room.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.